And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Blessings and glory and honor, they all belong to you. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. All of us have that praise in our spirit, right? Thank you, Jesus, for blessing. Won't you stand to your feet, turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. I want to read both out of the Old Testament as well as out of the New Testament. And so I want you to look at Genesis chapter number 13. And I want you to say amen. We've located the text. Genesis chapter number 13. We are grateful today for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard. We've had a great fellowship in the park. Amen. So far, right here. Amen. To God be the glory. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. The Bible says, reads as follows. And the Lord. Everybody there? Say amen. Look at the text. Amen. The Bible says, verse 14, Genesis chapter 13. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through this length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. If you would indulge me, keep a finger in the Genesis text and flip over to the book of Romans in the New Testament. Romans chapter number 4. And I want to read verses 14 through 18. And there in Romans chapter 4, verse 14, give you a minute to find it. So keep Genesis as our main text, and Romans 4 is a subsidiary text, supporting text, where it says in 4:14, if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the law and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls, and this is key, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me this morning, beloved, on the title of this sermon, particularly taken out of the book of Genesis, pick up your tent and walk. Pick up your tent and walk. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that your words would not return void, but that they may accomplish that which you intended for them to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged. May minds be illuminated. May souls be convicted, I pray. Have your way, O God, and we shall be ever careful to give you glory, praise, and honor in the name of Jesus our Christ. That all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, amen. And amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated as well. So listen, imagine us being out in Cadwalader Park and the sun shining and the excitement building about the fellowship that we would have. And I still want that same excitement to be building even now as we get ready to go downstairs and have a great time of fellowship. But I wanted to really speak today about continuing on in this theme about Abraham. Many of you who have been here the last several weeks that I've preached have been hearing me talk about a series on Abraham. We are now officially in that series. I preached several weeks back out of Genesis chapter number 12, verses 4 on into chapter number 13. I preached weeks before that out of Genesis 19, 18 and 19. And now today I'm going back and I'm going to keep walking my way up. And so today I want to pause at Genesis chapter 13 and continue this exploration conversation about Abram, whom we have now, who we soon will come to know as Abraham. He is still Abram in these texts before his name is changed. And remember now, the one thing that I want you to know about Abram is the fact that Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham, is considered the father of faith for Judeo-Christians, the father of faith for Jewish brothers and sisters, because they too would trace their lineage, spiritual heritage back to Father Abraham, had many sons and daughters, had Father Abraham. You hear me say it? You've been hearing me say it. I want to continue to express this notion. And what's important even about last week's sermon was about Ishmael, right? How many of you were here last week? And we talked about Ishmael, and Ishmael being the discarded child of Abraham, who becomes Abraham. And Ishmael's mama, Hagar, was a Jewish woman who was simply kicked to the curb, discarded out of the camp. And yet, how many of you know that even in our wilderness experiences, God will still send an angel and show up, even when you have come to your wit's end? That is what Ishmael's story represents to us. That's what Hagar's story represents to us. And so Abraham is an interesting biblical figure. The one thing that you need to understand is that Abraham had many offsprings. And so one of the great statements about Abraham in the text is that Abraham was to become the father of many nations. The father of many nations. You see that in the text, because after Sarah gets pregnant, Isaac comes on the scene. Isaac becomes the father of Jacob. Jacob becomes the father of Joseph. Joseph becomes the father, and the lineage goes on and on, even to David, and then it jumps to Jesus. And so we see this lineage that goes through many a generation. And part of fact, it is the famous statement that most preachers will rake about Jesus. He came out of heaven down through 42 generations. And if you read in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the generations that are numbered, such and such begat such and such, you will number them as 42. And so that's how we get this lineage of our Jesus that comes in, that we find in the book of Matthew. And so Father Abraham had Sarah and Isaac and that lineage. But I just told you Father Abraham had Hagar and Ishmael. When I read to you last week that Ishmael, who was a son of an Egyptian bondwoman who was kicked to the curb, the Bible says that when Abraham, their daddy, died, Isaac and Ishmael came together to bury their father. And so, and it says that Ishmael had 12 sons, 12 princes. And so we look at that as even Ishmael's lineage becoming a series of nations that Abraham is attributed to have to his lineage. And then if you read further, there's another wife that often does not get mentioned in the text. Her name is Keturah. Keturah is in the Bible, in Genesis. Keep reading in the text. And after Sarah, after Hagar, there was Keturah. And Keturah had 6 children. And those children are delineated in the text. And it gives us example again of what happened to those children. And yet, I'm not here to speak about Father Abraham being a father of many nations. But what I do want to continue to emphasize is that Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was the father of faith. And so I want to talk today about faith. I want to continue our discourse about faith, our biblical walk through the scriptures about faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, the elders obtained an excellent testimony. Come on, somebody. And then it goes to call the roll of what happened with all the great patriarchs and matriarchs of faith. By faith, David was able to do this. By faith, Deborah was able to do this. By faith, Isaac was able to do this. By faith, Jacob was able to do this. And I just stop by to tell someone here on Sunday morning that with God on your side, by faith, all things are possible. Nothing is improbable because of God's ability to hear the man and woman of faith. Come on, someone. That's what we have. When you are stripped down to everything else, all you have is your faith in God. When friends have turned their backs on you, all you have is your faith in God. When your bank account is empty, all you have is your faith in God. When the doctor has diagnosed your body with some terminal illness, all you have is your faith in God. When your player haters and your naysayers and your backstabbers have done everything they can to destroy you, all you have is your faith in God. Has anybody ever been there when all you had was your faith in God? You could turn to the left, you could turn to the right, you could go behind you, you could go in front of you. So all you can do is stretch your eyes up to the hills from whence cometh your help, because all of your help, all of your help, all of your help. Listen, there's been some newspaper stories that have affected some of the members of this church and those who are related to members of this church. But the thing that I've loved about those folk is that they understand their faith in God. And no matter what the newspapers have to say, no matter what the reporters have to say, all that matters is what God has to say. God will have the final word, beloved. Will have the final word. And so I thank God today that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him because of our faith in God. And so as we continue to learn of Abram, I pray that the thing that you learn most is that he was a man of faith. And when you don't have anything else, you better hold on to your faith in God. Substance, material, of things hoped for, immaterial. Evidence, material, of things not seen, immaterial. It almost sounds like an oxymoron. How can I have something material, but I can't hold on to anything? How can I have something that is evidence, but I can't see anything? But how many of you know just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there? How many of you know just because you can't touch it doesn't mean it's not there? How many of you know just because you can't hear it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, doesn't mean it's not there? I'm so glad I serve a God that is with me in the midst of my trials and in the midst of my tribulations. The evidence of things hoped for, There is no greater word, few great words in biblical scripture outside of faith. And the definition that we get is awesome. Philosophers still philosophize. Prognosticators still prognosticate. Ruminators still ruminate. On what did the Hebrew writer mean? Where did he get this definition of faith? And he got it from the stories of men and women who had nothing but had everything on their side. Come on, somebody. And so I just stopped by because, listen, we're living in a time where your faith is going to get you over that mountain, and your faith is going to get you down through that valley, and your faith is going to cross you over that river, and your faith is going to get you a job, and your faith is going to cure your body, and your faith is going to deliver. God's going to deliver whatever. God's going to deliver. Don't you turn your back on God. And yes, you better boldly declare that I am a woman of faith and I am a man of faith. And I don't care who doesn't like it. I believe in something. And I just don't believe in something. I believe in somebody. And I just don't believe in somebody. My somebody's got a name. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. His name is Jehovah Shammah. He's right there with me. His name is Jehovah Rophe. He'll heal my body. His name is Jehovah Shalom. He'll give me peace in the middle of a storm. His name is Jehovah. Anybody know him for yourself? Faith. Why is Abraham a man of faith? This is precisely one of the many texts that causes Abraham to be qualified as a man of faith. Because I don't have time. I'm going to shorten this sermon. It's hard for me to shorten sermons. I'm going to shorten it today. Because Abraham was told two things. Walk through the land, and your descendants will be as numerous as the dust in the sky. I mean, dust of the ground. It says it right there in Genesis chapter 14, doesn't it? At 13 it says in verse number 14, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated, lift your eyes. Look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see I give you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust, he can number your descendants. But we know that it is impossible to number the dust of the earth, so it is impossible to number the descendants of Abraham. You and I are descendants of Abraham. And some folk may say black folk are original Jews. I'm not getting to all that very ethnographic reality, but I do know is that our story is so closely aligned with our Jewish brothers and sisters that it makes sense that you and I would call on the name of the God of Abraham. Because when we were enslaved, somebody was lifted up and sent to Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh was asked, who is sending this person to me? That Moses said, I am that I am that I am that I am sent me to you. And so we identify with those stories and those messages of liberation and freedom that we see in the text. But even more than that, it is the faith. And faith is not relegated to a certain group of people. Faith is not relegated to black folk, white folk, Asian folk, and Latino folk. Faith is anybody who calls on the name of God of the universe. The name that we have come to know as the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so as we call on that name, let us believe that no matter what the situation is, I want you to lift up your eyes. So the first thing I want you to see is that God told Abraham to do what in verse 13? Lift up your eyes. Get your head from looking down in the doldrums. I know too many folk who want to invite me to their pity parties, but I gave up a long time ago going to folks' pity parties. Sometimes I have my own pity party, but I got to work on making sure my head is lifted up. And if I'm going to be a witness about the God I serve, I can't walk around with my head bent down. I got to lift up my head. I got to lift up my eyes.
a witness and an example to somebody else who don't know God like I know him, and to let them know that the same thing that God is doing for me, he can do for somebody else. Lift up your heads, all ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Lift up your eyes, Abram, and look to the south, to the north, to the east, and to the west. Lift up your eyes. Look up to what you are about to inherit. Look up to where you are about to go, because your attitude will determine your altitude. Stop looking down. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop thinking the world is against you. Understand that God is with you. And if he's with you, he's more than the whole world against you. I need someone to pick up their head. I know you've been going through some rough times, but the God I serve said, lift up your eyes. I know it seems pretty dark right now, but the God I serve said, lift up your eyes. I know everybody seems to be against you right now, but the God I serve said, lift up your eyes. I know you don't have a job that you want right now, but the God I serve said, lift up your eyes and look. And here's a scripture that I'm going to leave you and plant in your spirit. This is the Romans text. Romans 4:17 said, call those things that are not as if they were. Listen now. That means that you've got to be able to use your sanctified imagination to see some stuff that other folk don't see. You need to start calling some things that have not yet materialized and call them as if they were. That's this notion of what faith is. The evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. You haven't yet gotten it, but you're calling it as if it were. You haven't yet walked through it, but you're calling it as if it were. You haven't quite yet crossed it, but you're calling it as if it were. You haven't yet gotten a job, but you're calling it as if it were. You haven't yet gotten over the mountain, but you're climbing like you know that you're going to get over. You haven't yet gotten through the valley, but you're calling it as if it were. You haven't yet gotten the sickness, the cure for your sickness, but you're calling it. Anybody calling it today? I need y'all to look the devil in the face and say, even though I don't see it yet, I'm calling it as if it were. Get your hands off my children. Get your hands off my marriage. Get your hands off my wife. Get your hands off my husband. Get your hands off my church. Get your hands off my community. I'm declaring and decreeing that today is a new day. I'm declaring and decreeing that God's about to do a new thing. I'm declaring and decreeing that God's about to make a way out of no way. I'm declaring and decreeing that God's about to bring me out. God's about to cross me over. God's about to bring me out. God's about to do a new thing. I am declaring and I am decreeing that God is able. Come on, somebody. God is able. Yes, he's able. He's able. I'm declaring. And I am decreeing, calling those things that are not yet manifested as if they're about to break through. You're not getting this thing, are you? So when you go back to Genesis, God tells Abraham, now that you've looked all around you, I want you to start walking. High in the land. We don't even have the land yet, but you gotta start walking in the land. You gotta walk in front of you. You gotta walk in back of you. You gotta walk to the right side. You gotta walk to the left side. Wherever your feet will
start walking in the land. You haven't even gotten the breakthrough yet, but I'm walking in the land. I haven't even gotten over the mountain, but I'm walking in the land. I need somebody to pick up your band and start walking in the land. I know what it looks like. I know what it smells like. I know what it tastes like. But you gotta start walking. Walking is a demonstrable act of faith. God told Abraham, get out of your father's land and I'll show you where you go. But he comes back in Genesis 13 and he says, if you keep walking for me, Abram, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the dust on the field. If you keep walking for me, Abram, I'm going to make your nation as great as the stars as are in the heaven. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to pick up your eyes and I need you to start walking. And I forget about what everybody else says. You just keep walking. Forget about what the naysayers say. You just keep walking. They can make fun of you if they want to. They can laugh at you if they want to. But you just say, I'm going for a walk. Anybody ever had a walk with Jesus? Tell them all about your troubles. He'll be there. And here's the part I like as I go to my seat. Not only did he say, lift up your eyes. Not only did he say, start walking. But here's the part I love most. Abram picked up his tent. And he went on and moved to the land in near the terebinth tree in the land of Mamre. You're not getting the message, are you? You got to go ahead and step out on faith. Pick up your tent. You need to have a mobile tent. Because when God tells you to go, you got to be nimble. And you got to be ready to go where God tells you to go. Don't get too used to being down here. Don't get too used to what you have. When God tells you to go, you got to get ready to go. So I've made up in my mind that when God tells me to go, I'ma say, how far do you want me to go? When God tells me to preach, I'ma preach until he tells me to stop. When God tells me to pray, I'ma keep on praying till my change comes. When God tells me to keep on praising, I'ma praise him in the morning. I'ma praise him in the noonday. I'ma praise him in the evening. I'ma praise him when the sun goes up. And I'ma praise him when the sun goes down. All he told you is to keep on doing what he told you to do. And stop looking around and listening to everybody else. They don't know what God told you to do. So if God told you to do it, you just stay on the battlefield. Hold on till your change comes.
Call those things that are not as if they were. That means your mentality has to change. Your mindset has to change. Your attitude has to change. Because you got to be able to look that thing and say, I see it, but I'm looking beyond it till my breakthrough comes. Because I know what it looks like, but I'm going to call it for what God can turn it into. I'm calling it as if it were. And until it comes, I'm going to believe that what God has on purpose and ordained in my life will come to pass. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. I'm calling it. I'm calling it. I'm calling it. I know where my child is, but I'm calling it. Lord, I'm declaring and decreeing today that you would do a new thing in my child's life. I'm declaring and decreeing today that you would have your way in my marriage. I'm declaring and decreeing today. I'm calling it. Those things that are not yet, I'm calling it. as if it were. Amen. I need you to understand that is precisely what makes Abraham the father of faith. He picked up his tent and he started walking. But in point of fact, turn that thing around. You can't pitch a tent if you haven't walked to the place where you want to pitch the tent. Yeah, let me say that again. You just don't go plop a tent down if you haven't surveyed the land. When I was in the boys' camp that I tell you about oftentimes, before we set up tent for the night, you have to go clear the land. You have to go and make sure there were no predators in the land. No rattlesnakes, no scorpions. Make sure you set up a perimeter around the land. That means before I pitch my tent, I got to go into hostile territory. Listen. And start cleaning out some stuff. And allowing God to have God's way before I can then take comfort in pitching my tent. And so in point of fact, Abraham did not pitch his tent and get up and walk and go pitch his tent. Pitch his tent and get up and walk. What Abraham did was walked, set out through the land, and then pitched his tent. So he was then calling that which was not yet. Calling it and declaring and claiming it for himself. And that's the practice that I need Christians to practice. I know what it looks like, but I'm declaring and decreeing that what it looks like isn't going to be what it's going to be like. Amen, somebody? Amen. That in the final analysis, amen, God's going to get the glory and I'm going to get the blessing. And so until I get the blessing, I'm just going to hold on to God's glory in the name of Jesus. Do I have a witness here today? Go ahead and start walking. Go ahead and start lifting up your head. Go ahead and start pitching your tent, because God wants to bless you in a mighty good way. Let the church say amen today. Amen. You've got a praise offering in this place. In the name of Jesus. Deacons and deaconess and clergy, help me extend an invitation to discipleship. As we get ready to extend the invitation, it is my prayer today that someone hears the message of Abram and Abraham. As a man of true faith, a man that did not let his circumstances define his opportunity. And so Abraham's story is captured in the book of Romans in the New Testament, but the essence of it is told in Genesis 12 on through 22. And so I need someone here today to take on the faith of Abraham. And so if the message was for you, and you know it was for you, take a step. Step out on faith. Come forward down the aisle and give us your hand and give God your heart. Don't know what your circumstances are, but I tell you, we serve a God who is bigger than our circumstances. And if I take anything from Abraham's life, that's what I take. So the choir is going to sing. The invitation is extended to someone. The deacons and the deaconess and clergy are out in the pews. If you want special prayer, you can step out of the aisle, grab their hand, and pray with them. But more importantly, right now, I'm looking for folk who are looking to give their life to the Lord Jesus, to make a change in their life. And so if you're here today, go ahead and I believe we want special prayer. Sister Carol, let's go ahead and pray with her right there in the name of Jesus. Anybody else who wants to come and make a decision for the Lord, I want you to come today. Come down the aisle. Give us your hand and give God your heart.
And I lift my voice.
And not only that, but if there's anyone here who wants to join our church, I want to thank God today. Come on, somebody give God a praise offering today. God bless you, sister.
Rejoice. Take
In the name of Jesus. Is there anyone else today? Anyone else today?
Let it be.
Anyone else today? Anyone else today? Wishes to step out and say, Lord, this message was for me. This message was for me. I want to make a decision for you today, God. In the name of Jesus. Anyone else here today? Thank you, God. And I lift my voice.
And I lift my voice.
To worship. Anyone else today?
Oh, my soul.
Male, female, younger, older, black or white.